worship time, and I share some heartbeat fresh bread with the saints before you tune in. And we've laughed a little bit too much, probably, but there's a lot of laughter around Jesus. And there's a lot of laughter here, and I love you, and I enjoy you. Thanks for enjoying me and putting up with me. You know, this series is a great series. And I want to tell you, it's one of those lifetime, life message series for me. And what that means to you is that I could preach it for the rest of my life, but I won't. Looks like we've got about three more, maybe. But what I am his word's alive, and it has a tendency to grow. All right, so thank you for being patient about that. But we want that each message should be able to stand on itself to present Jesus to you. And so if you're seeking Jesus, and that's the big difference in a sermon, there are great preachers out there, and man, I love to hear them too. But the deal is that a lot of times a message is great because of the need of the moment or the need of the hour. And what's great about the Word of God, especially if it's a Christ-centered message or Word-based message, that the Word of God is alive. And the Holy Spirit can take that Word, and even if the speaker's not saying it directly, the Holy Spirit can apply His Rhema Word to you directly, and it can meet a right now Rhema Word for your life right now. And so that's why the Word of God tells us to be attentive. In other words, that one word for that is don't sleep while the preacher's preaching. Well, I kind of personalized it, but it fits. Okay, but it means to be listening to the Lord while you're listening to a message. While you're in the Word, reading the Word, and going over the Word, listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to the Lord while you're reading. You got me? And I want to tell you, He loves to speak to us. He loves to make His Word and His life personal to us. And He's given us the Holy Spirit as a personal guide, personal teacher, personal counselor, to apply His Word to right where you live. That's the Holy Spirit in our life. Is this great? Is it? Don't we have a great opportunity? Well, this series, and it's been primarily based off Psalm 23, even though we've covered a lot of different scripture. But Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He is your shepherd. Now, a shepherd was responsible to feed the flock, to guide the flock, and protect the flock. And guess what? Jesus, your shepherd, still is. All right? And Psalm 23:1 says, that's all I need. He has need. I do not want, I do not lack for anything because my shepherd is a good shepherd. It's not because the sheep are perfect. It's because we have a great shepherd. Amen? And so in the last part of Psalm 23 is in verse 6. And it's a beautiful picture for us to know because the Word of God is true. And the Word of God reveals the shepherd's heart for you. And it goes like this, that He chases us down. It's hunting language. He chases us down with goodness, His goodness, and His unfailing love. And so I want to tell you, God's goodness in your life is great, tremendous blessing. It's such blessing that the world looks at you and says, that's bigger than you, that's more than you, that's God. His unfailing love. Great that He chases us down every day. You know why? Because we need every day. I want to tell you, we don't get His blessing or His love because we deserve it. Thank you for that thunderous amen. I'm getting a lot of them today. Well, this is exciting. Let me just remind you, we don't deserve it. But this is what grace is. He loves us in spite of ourselves. He loves us because of Jesus. That Jesus said that the same love that you have loved me with, Father, I have loved them. I want to tell you, that's great love. That's unfailing love. That's love not based on your report card. I didn't make straight A's this week. Okay, hey, I'm announcing to you that He loves you based on the report card of Jesus. He's the Lamb of God that takes away all the C's and D's and F's of the world. Amen? And so we're so excited about Jesus, and this is why we've got this series named this, how that 2021 can be the greatest year of your life based on who Jesus is and what he says, what he does. And so what a great opportunity this year is. And so if you follow the shepherd, you'll be able to say in 2022 that 2021 was the best year of my life. And because I know my shepherd and how to follow my shepherd, 2022 is now going to be the best year of my life. Somebody say amen. All right. And so it's my heart, even though sometimes, believe it or not, sometimes people that are listening to the message, sometimes they get their feelings hurt a little bit. All right, that's not my desire, that's not my purpose, that's not my heart. The old evangelist in me, a little bit of prophet in me, even though I love to be an exhorter, kind of wants to shake and wake sometimes. Because it seems like that believers sleep in their journey. A little complacent. Heaven doesn't like that word. Heaven doesn't like the word compromise either, because that doesn't sound like love life. And so it's important to kind of shake and wake a little bit. And what my heart is to show you that there's a better way. A lot of Christians end up living here, surviving till you get to heaven. Jesus died not only give you everlasting, but everlasting life also has abundant life. And so Jesus died and paid the price not only for your soul to be saved, but also for you to have abundant life. And a lot of Christians are just surviving down here till they get to heaven. It'll be better one day. No, I'm telling you, because of Jesus and his promises, and he's a personal shepherd to you, he wants to walk you in green pastures in this journey. He wants to walk you beside peaceful, still waters in this journey. He wants to provide for you a buffet of himself, a buffet of blessing in the very midst of your enemies. Wow. There's so much that God has for us. And so here's the thing, is that a lot of people are questioning, well, what's my goal? What's my destination? And if you were to ask, especially young believers, what's your goal? What's your destiny? It's to get rid, be from this current sin that makes me trip, or this current relationship problem that's giving me a fit, or this current financial problem that's got me burdened. And so if you were to talk to young Christians, this is my goal, this is my purpose, my destiny. But I want to tell you, you can focus on that and miss Jesus. And so what I'm sharing with you is that instead of focusing on the mountain of the moment, because there's different mountains that come into our life, instead of focusing on the giant of the moment, we need to focus on our shepherd. And when we focus on our shepherd, he leads us into the blessings he's paid and provided for us. And so it's very, very important that we focus on the shepherd. So I'm saying to young believers and mature believers alike, because we can never get away from this, that your destination is not the next giant that shows up on your trail, the next mountain that comes in view, or the next famine that shows up. Your goal, your destination, is the journey with the shepherd. Now, I want to tell you, that sounds simple and maybe insignificant, but if you capture the meaning of that, it will bring such rest and peace and joy to your life. Your destination is to enjoy your journey with your shepherd. And when you do that, he leads us into his victory. He is our champion. He always leads us into triumph. Wow, that's good. Okay, I'm enjoying that myself right now. But your journey is the destination. So we're talking about the grace of Jesus, and the gospel of Jesus is the answer. It's not arguing people to agree with you. A lot of Christians are doing that nowadays. They're doing just like the world, just going one side of the gulf there and throwing stones and shame and blame to try to get people to agree with them. That's not God's way. Real novel idea, preach the gospel. Because you see, the goal of the gospel, the goal of grace, and I'm going to try to say this right way first time so I can move on. It's not about behavior modification. Now, there's a lot of teaching on behavior modification. I'm not necessarily against that. But I'm saying don't call that grace and don't call it gospel. It's not behavior modification. Grace in the gospel is about heart transformation. You see the difference? It's heart transformation. And here's the novel thing that I'm sharing, trying to share with people. Instead of doing like the world does and yelling and being cruel and mean to people to try to get them to agree with you, why don't we preach Jesus? And when their heart is transformed by the power of the love of Jesus and the Word of God, when their heart is transformed, then their mind can be renewed. Amen, Brother Tim. So, I want to speak to you personally in this atmosphere because we minister to pastors as a part of our ministry. There's a number of pastors that are hurting right now. There's a number of saints that are hurting right now. And what I want to say to you in a personal way, in a loving personal way, don't allow yourself to be vulnerable. Or I guess a better word is don't allow yourself to be intimidated by all the storms and all the words and all the negativity out there. Because we have a shepherd. You have a shepherd that's watching over you. You have a personal shepherd that cares for you. And we, because of the Word of God and because of the love of Jesus, we can be in the secret place of protection. That's Psalm 91. That's Psalm 23. Psalm 91. Psalm 91 talks about that he wants us to be under his wing. Now, if you didn't grow up in the country, and most Texans know about this, and I'm speaking to Texans here and to other people in other places over the camera, but most Texans know that, man, it is really cute to watch that little mama hen, and all the little ones are out playing and having a good time, and she gives a signal. And then little outfits, they come running to mama. And she does this, if you've ever seen it. She opens up her wings like this right here. And they all get under it. I mean, it's like a race and a little, tug of war to get underneath the wings. And she covers them up and sets down. She protects them. And what Jesus wants, he wants us to be under the shadow of his wing. Be close to his heart. And he's watching over you. We are in the secret place. He is our security. Bank account's not, government's not, medicine's not, okay? Hey, look, no matter what the bank check, the bank, your checkbook is saying right now, it may be crying, but I want to tell you, let him be your security. Experience and touch his love and let him love on you. According to Psalm 91, we may see it all falling to the right and to the left and it happening all around us, but the Lord says that we are secure, we are protected. And the Psalm 91 even says it won't even come near to your tent. Now, that sounds like the Lord protecting, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like a good shepherd to you? Well, he is. And I'm just announcing to you with this series, there is a better way, and Jesus paid for you to receive it. We don't earn it, but we can receive it, and we can walk in it. And he wants to teach us how to do that. There's a better way. Now, one saint recently told me about a serious situation in their home, and it seems impossible. Seems like nothing they can do, and actually they're very weary in it, trying to do anything. So they've kind of backed up and taken the idea and actually said it like this. Well, it's going to all work out in the end. I'm just not even going to worry about it. I'm not going to deal with it no more. God will just work it out one day. Well, that's not faith. That's not faith. That's not resting in the Lord. That's quitting. That's compromising. Hey, you're not going to see it if you don't participate in it. Faith is requires your cooperation, requires your participation. Are you interested in hearing about that? Well, I'm going to share it with you today. Hopefully, we'll get there today. But the impact of the revelation of God's love and grace is that it has when you receive His grace and His love, it has tremendous effect on hearts and minds. Because you know what? It's an automatic byproduct. You grow. You don't grow by grunting. You grow by receiving. There's a big difference on that. I'm going to announce to you, and I tried to share a little bit about it last week, that in 45 years, I've got to watch how people respond to the Word of God and respond to Jesus. Same people. I could name names, places, I don't. But same people are similar people, similar problems. Some walked into greater victory, and some walked in worse defeat. And the difference was not Jesus, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The difference was not the love of Jesus, because He loves you completely and totally. The difference was not the favor of God, because He shed His blood and He suffered on the cross for you to have His favor. It wasn't a difference in the promises. It wasn't a difference. It's not education or talent or goody-goody two-shoes. What it ended up being was people that cooperated and responded to the Lord and those who did not. I've shared with you, I go over it real quick again, that the Lord is looking for seekers. He's looking for seekers. His heart, His eyes roam to and fro, and He's looking for those hearts that will seek Him. If you'll turn your heart toward Him, He'll manifest Himself in your life. Okay? He loves to do that. And so seekers of Jesus, those that sought the Lord wholeheartedly, received. Those who did not seek the Lord wholeheartedly did not receive much. Okay. We do the choosing. All right? Look, love life with Jesus. If we can help people fall, I've told our leadership, if we help people fall in love with Jesus and get immersed in the Word of God, it would take a miracle in reverse for the kingdom of God to not be multiplied in their life. And so, love life with Jesus is in praise and thanksgiving. It's in prayer. Yeah, prayer. Prayer is to be love life. Sometimes we hear people praying publicly, and it's okay to pray anyway privately, but we really challenge people that, you know, 80 to 85-90% of your prayer life needs to be love life with Jesus. Love life with the Lord. Man, just love on them, let them love on you. Sometimes people want to pray story prayers to God. Well, that's okay in your private prayer life. You pray everything and anything to God. But the Lord already knows the story. He already knows it all. Sometimes we have a tendency to do preaching prayers. And you know what? That's okay in your private prayer life, because when you're rehearsing the Word of God and praying the inside of the Word of God, I'm telling you, God gives you more, and He loves His Word. He loves for you to pray His Word, and you're praying those preaching prayers that you've received. He just loves it, and He loves. That's not for public praying. What we tell people in Mountain Movers Club is that when you come to Mountain Movers Club, we claim the promises of God. We want to bind the bad and loose the good. And so we don't need the storytelling prayers. We don't need the preaching prayers. You know what we need? In the name of Jesus, we renounce cancer. In the name of Jesus, we loose the healing of the Lord in their life. I want to tell you, those prayers make a difference. And there's different prayers for different purposes, but I'm just trying to tell you that prayer life ought to be your love life with the Lord, praise and thanksgiving. How about this? This is a big one. Practice His presence. Wow. Oh, that's so important. And so, number two is they saturated themselves with the words of Jesus. Christ-centered messages over and over again. Listen to them till you can preach them better than the preacher. Okay? It needs to be ingrained. It needs to be saturated, engrafted. Somebody say engrafted. Yes. confess the words of Jesus. When you take the words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit shows you hope in them and you say what Jesus said, there's power when we agree with Jesus and we say what Jesus says about us, even though physically it looks like it's a million miles away. Say what Jesus says. Ooh, that's good. Consistently meditate on his promises. What he says, what he does, who he is. And when you focus on those things, guess what? The Holy Spirit reveals to you Jesus. See Jesus in the Word. Practice listening to the Lord. That's right, listening. Yes, listening. Don't let a preacher say to you that you can't hear from God. Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. When you receive the new birth, when you receive Jesus, you receive the capacity to hear Jesus speak to you. And it's an automatic and it's understood in the kingdom of God. And so one of the most greatest things that you can do, and this can be a part of your prayer life, but practice listening to the Lord. What is the Lord saying to you recently? Let me just encourage you, when you come to church on Sunday morning, we don't need to hear about the Cowboys, Cowgirls. We don't need to hear about the Rangers or Rangerettes. You know what? When you come to church on Sunday morning, here's a novel idea. Why don't you fill your mind with Jesus? Enjoy Jesus before you come. I'm telling you, you're going to get more out of the day. And when you come, talk to each other about Jesus. Fellowship, redefined in church life, fellowship is not eating. Fellowship's talking about Jesus. And so I just encourage, now my staff's learned how to protect me, but you wouldn't believe the people that would come up to me on Sunday mornings wanting to talk about, oh, I can't even go there. I'm not going to go there. Oh, I'm tempted. No, I'm not going there. But talking about everything in this world except Jesus. How can you put your mind on the Lord and enjoy the Lord, confessing his word. But number three is very, very important, is to be a channel of blessing. Don't be the Dead Sea where everything goes in and nothing comes out. You know what we're talking about? The Lord ministering to you, you're receiving from the Lord, and you've got to be an outlet. You've got to be a living stream where his life flows in you, through you, to others. And if you'll make sure that you're letting the Lord love on you, then I want to tell you there'll be a whole lot to go through you. Man, it's being a blessing. Testify of his works in you. I'm just going to announce to you, if you're practicing these things about a love life with Jesus and walking with the Lord and being saturated in his word, when we have testimony time, we have testimony time here every week, but when we have testimony time, we ought to be able to say, we're only going to take five or six today. Okay? The rest of you, I know we could be here all day praising Jesus because of what God has been saying to you and what God's been doing in you and through you. There's so much to testify about and give them on. Find someone to share what the Lord is saying to you and what the Lord's doing to you. I want to tell you, when you sow that, guess what you reap? More of it. Anybody interested in that? Be a giver, not a taker. If we get our focus off getting a blessing and start being a blessing, how can I be a blessing today? I want to tell you, it's amazing how much the Lord will bless you. I mean, you're going to see it. He already is, but you're going to see it and recognize it. But I want to tell you, be a channel of blessing. Somebody say channel of blessing. And obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit to promote Jesus. I told our staff this morning, you're a blessing going somewhere. Because I want to tell you, that's the way it ought to be. Lord, I'm so full. I'm so blessed. I'm too blessed to stress. I'm full of the love of Jesus. Lord, whoever it is, get them ready because I'm ready. I'm saying yes already. And when somebody even pauses and you get to bring up Jesus, and you know what happens when you have time with the Lord and the Lord's loving on you and you got this fresh bread in you, and you come up on somebody that has a need, the Holy Spirit prompts you, share that fresh bread. And you know what? There's not this big tug of war. Well, I don't want to offend them. Well, I don't want to embarrass them. Well, I don't want to make them feel bad. No, I'm telling you, when you're walking in the love and the fullness of the Lord and the Holy Spirit prompts you to give them a word, then you speak the word. That's very exciting. You're a blessing going somewhere to happen. But anyway, the impact the revelation of God's love and grace has tremendous effects on our hearts and minds. Amen? Let me show you one of the ways that it does, because I'm a little aggravated at, I love pastors. I minister to pastors. You minister to pastors. We do that together every week. But I'm here to tell you something. I get aggravated at some pastors sometime that present, and I'm going to say a wrong view. Doesn't mean the Lord doesn't love them, the Lord doesn't use them. But I'm saying a wrong view that comes out like this, like they have a monopoly on faith. And it comes out like, you don't have it, I do. Okay? And, you know, I'm going to just talk to you about faith, and they go on and present that, you know what, that, you know, you don't have faith, and, you know, the way for you to receive would be to just pay them to have faith for you. Well, I'm just here to say to you that when you're walking in the love life with Jesus, let me announce something. Faith is not a struggle. You don't have to have some kind of super saint to pray for you to receive from God. You don't have to have Mr. Faith of America to believe for you. I'm here to announce to you that faith is not a struggle. Let me announce something about faith. It's an alive extension of your fellowship walk with the Lord. It's an expression of your love life. Faith is. When He's the active main thing in your life, when He's the center, faith is not an area of frustration or struggle. And sometimes they present it like, you know, you baby faith and I'm big boy faith. And you just got to grow your muscles to get to where I am. But until you do, here I am. Well, that's just wrong. Okay? It's not the muscle growing up. I want to tell you what the difference is getting to know God. Your love life with God. Listen, your confidence in God. Okay? That's what makes the difference. Okay? Can we be hindered in our faith? Yes, we can. Jesus spoke about that. As a matter of fact, if you have a heart problem between you and Him, then guess what? Your faith can be quenched. You can quench the Holy Spirit by saying no to God. And so I'm telling you, if you have a heart problem, you got stones and rocks and you got thorns in there and you got the cares of this world. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Then I want to tell you, it can be a blockage in your heart. And not saying that life doesn't come, but it can get misdirected. It can get frustrated. It can be twisted and thwarted. I might have just invented that. But what it comes out as, and I'll just give you a little example. It doesn't mean that you can't hear from God, but I want to tell you, when you speak what God says, it comes out harder than the way He said it to you. Got me? Okay. Faith is not an area of frustration or struggle when you're walking with Jesus. You can have your best year ever by allowing God's grace to flood your life. I'm going to speak a little bit more on it, but I think you need a little break from it. So let's go back to Genesis 26:1. There was a famine in the land other than the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. This was the days of Isaac. And so get this, it doesn't look like deep insight, but it can apply to you that Abraham had his famine. And Isaac had his famine. Let me announce to you, and I'm not speaking something bad on you, I'm saying what the New Testament, what Jesus says about you, he's going to face some kind of famine in your life. Everybody's going to face some kind of giant in your life, some kind of storm, some kind of mountain. The answer is the same for all of us. But please understand that you prepare now for the mountain that comes. Don't wait till the giant shows up on your doorstep and say, oh yeah, God, here I am. Okay, I'm not saying he doesn't answer those 911 prayers, but I'm saying there's a better way. And so, become an overcomer and a more than conqueror before you face the next mountain. The Lord may do it in a different way every time, but he's the answer every time. And so our faith in him is what's going to make it. Our journey, our perseverance in the goodness of God will make the difference. And so he's the battle plan. So when there's a famine in the land, there's a tendency to run. But God told Isaac, stay, I'll be with you. It's the key right there, is that, you know what? You want to practice the presence of your shepherd. And he's promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. You say, but Brother Tim, I used to travel and speak a lot, and I'd get off the plane, and I already knew the pastor's conversation before we ever arrived at the church. They would pick me up at the airport, and on the way to their church or the destination, I'd hear this story. It'd go like this. Now, Mr. Evangelist, I just got to say, this is a tough, tough area. This is really a dark area, and this area is really tough with the gospel. You know? And I would have the same response. Praise God! That, 'cause light outshines darkness, that means we're going to have great revival this week. Okay. But you see what I'm saying? Look, the Lord says, I'll be with you. If he's with you in the corner of the world where nobody else is, if he's with you, he's your success. He's promised, and his promises are true, and he cannot lie. And he will favor you with blessings. And he told Isaac, it's the same with your father Abraham, same promise, same blessing. And you know what Isaac did to deserve it? He was born. And he believed God. Faith is the key. But you know, I had this little thought, you know, it's the same with us. You know how we get the blessings and the promises of God? You know what? We were born again. And because we were born again, you know what? We're qualified. And all we got to do, listen, is to practice faith. By grace through faith. Does that sound good to anybody? I mean, let's be honest. What did Isaac do? What did you do to be born? All you had to do was cooperate. Move toward the light. And you were born. That's about all I need to go on that. You know what happened when you were born again? All you did was cooperate. Just move toward the light. And you were born again. And when you were born again, guess what? When we celebrate 50-year-old birthday, we're not necessarily celebrating all they accomplished, are we? You know what we're celebrating? That they were born. We celebrate the gift that they are. And you know what? All that we receive from Jesus, all that we get, you know what our part was? We were born again. And we just be celebrating each other for who we are in Christ. Amen? But well, hey, listen, we're now joint heirs with Jesus. And we have a better covenant, better promises, better relationship with God because of Jesus. Isaac received by faith, not by performance. You got to get the religious stuff out of your mind. Abraham said yes to God. Isaac said yes to God. Faith is our yes to God. You know, it really try to keep it simple. Inside and out, faith. It's inside and out, yes to God. Inside your heart and outside with your words and your action, you say yes to God. Well, that's not deep. That's not too complicated. But it's by faith, not performance. Don't dare think that Isaac was blessed like Abraham was simply because he was so goody-goody. No, he was not. He did the same lie, the same mistakes that his daddy did. Lied about his wife. Tell him you're my sister. I'm scared. Hey, you know what it was? He had some insecurity in his life. Had some fear in his life. I want to tell you something. But because he had faith in God, it didn't quench him from receiving from God. Well, it ought to be a loud amen. Because I want to tell you, it's the same thing for you and me. We still wear this stuff. We still foul up. But it's not based on our performance. It's based on our yes to God. It's based on what Jesus has done. Well, that's good news, isn't it? Genesis 26:12, Isaac sowed seed in that land, in the land of famine, keep in mind, and received in the same year 100 times as much as he put it, and the Lord favored him with blessing. Somebody say amen. Now, let me ask you a very, very important question that determines on whether you receive the rest of the sermon or not. Is there any event, based on the Word of God, based on who Jesus is and what he said and what he's done, is there any event or political power in 2021 that can hinder you from being blessed by God to your best year ever? Thank you for answering that, because I was going to go ahead and finish the sermon early. But you know what? He sowed in famine, and he had 100 times harvest, and it's because of what God says. The Lord favored him with blessing. Faith, my friend. Let's go back there a little bit now that you've had a little break, hopefully a little hope and encouragement that this is for you. Faith is the currency of heaven. Everything we receive, everything God has for us is by grace through faith. By grace, he's provided it all. And by faith means that we say yes to God inside and out. As we grow in our relationship with the Lord, our faith is an automatic byproduct. You don't have to sign up for faith class. Faith, this is what disturbs me about some of the teaching out there in Christendom. Faith is not a hurdle. It's described by some preachers that it's this big mystery. No, it's not. I'm telling you, there's books. I mean, thick books, brother. You know what I'm saying about faith. And I want to tell you, they're big books, a lot of words, and they go deep, brother. I'm telling you, you can finish reading them, and I have before in the past. I finished reading them, and I thought, first thought, what did that say? I want to tell you, Jesus didn't design the gospel that way. He didn't design his ways to be like that. It's not some big mystery. Oh, brother, Paul spoke about the mystery. Yeah, but I want to tell you, the Word of God also reveals that he's given to us to know the mysteries. Now, isn't that something? We've been given the insight. We've been given the yes from God. We say yes to his yes. We can receive. We can know. So faith is not a hurdle. Be advised about this. Some believers focus on faith, and it's because of wrong teaching. It's some high wall that they're probably never going to get over, but thank God somebody has. No. God never intended faith to be a religious work. Now, be advised, not everybody agrees with me, okay? If you don't agree, it's okay. It don't hurt my feelings. Just don't turn off yet. Okay? God never intended faith to be a religious work or for us to see faith as a hindrance. It goes something like this. You hear it out there all the time. Well, if I just had a little more faith. If I had more faith, God would love me more. If I had more faith, then God would bless me more. No, no, no. 1,000 times no. You don't sweat up faith. You don't work up faith by spiritual gymnastics. There are entire denominations in Christendom that teach that you have to get to a certain emotional level in order for faith to kick in and work. No, no, no. Faith's not based on emotions. Faith's not based on your gymnastics. Faith's not based on your report card. Well, Brother Tim, you've done stepped out there now. Well, I've got a lot of pastors listening right now waiting to see what happens next. Hey, real quick, I'm just going to announce this because this is a sermon by itself I'll get to before the year's over. But Romans 12:3 says that we've all received the measure of faith. Oh, that's good. We all have. You received Jesus? You got the measure of faith. You want a little more? How about 2 Corinthians 4:13? He says it's the same spirit of faith. Whoa, wait, spirit of faith. Spirit is Jesus. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit come in us when we receive Christ, comes into our spirit. Okay? Your spirit's made brand new, born again. It's full of Jesus. And we have the same spirit of faith as Jesus. Whoa! Is that too much for you? It ought to excite somebody. You see, what happens in this is, and when you're growing in the Lord, is that from your spirit you hear this echo of yay, yay, hallelujah, amen. And in your soul you're going, I don't know where to put that part of the puzzle. I just don't know where it fits. You stay with Jesus, stay with the Holy Spirit, he shows you. 2 Peter 1:1 is brought out that it's the same precious kind. Same precious kind. And so what we're saying is, brother so-and-so didn't get the A-plus version, okay, and you got the C-version. No, it's not like that at all. According to 2 Peter 1:1, we have the same precious kind of faith. Now, get this. When you look back up in the language, and I had so much fun with this week. When you look back up in the language, it comes up, equal in rank. Wow. Come on, somebody. You know what this is saying? This is saying that Peter and James and John and Paul and brother so-and-so that you look up to and respect, that you have the very same precious kind of faith they have. It's the faith. The same rank of faith. You don't have little faith and they have big faith. No, we all have big Jesus. You don't have little Jesus in you and big Jesus in them. No, it's full Jesus. The Bible says we're filled with the fullness of God. That ought to encourage somebody. Wow, so let me announce to you, you have faith. He has given you the measure of faith. Now, Jesus said, it's not the size. I have to explain this in Texas. Texans want to say that everything's bigger and better. I have to explain this in Texas. It's not the size of the faith. Because Jesus said, if you even had faith the size of a mustard seed, we've handed out mustard seeds, and people lost them before they got out the door because they're so small. And Jesus was telling his disciples, it's not the size. That's the way religion thinks. That's the way Galileans and Texans thought the same. It's not the size. Okay? He was saying that a mustard seed is more than enough for everything we face in this life. And so I want to announce to you, because of who Jesus is, he's the great I am, you have more than enough faith. It's Jesus' faith, and it's good. Is it possible for faith to be hindered? Yes, it is. Doubt, speculation, and unbelief. It causes a tug of faith. And so, yes, it can be disturbed. It can be disrupted. It can be hindered. Like I was saying before, if your heart's hardened, it can be hindered. There can be a blockage in your heart that blocks the flow of God. Jesus is the heart surgeon. He's the one that takes the rocks out of the soil and the wrong roots out of the soil and all the thorns out of the soil. It takes some cooperation with him. Somebody say amen. And so we're not to be intimidated, because fear can block faith. Hey, I want to tell you, bitterness and anger can hinder faith. It can quench the spirit. And so I'm telling you that when you're walking in the love life with Jesus, faith is on because Jesus is on. It's not a problem with the size. It's a problem in using the faith that he's given us. That's a problem. It's there. We have it. And I want to tell you something. It's a whole lot different mindset to focus on this, that we're going to receive out of our spirit what Jesus has already given us, instead of trying to talk heaven into it or earn it from heaven or deserve it from heaven. No, that's not God's way. He has provided faith, and it's a whole lot easier to receive what he has provided in us that he wants us to walk in. We have more than enough. Somebody say we have more than enough. It's his faith, so it's quality faith. Well, Brother Tim, I don't quite catch that yet. I'm going to share with you one more verse, and we're going to stop, okay? You hang with me for one more verse. It's Galatians 2:20. And I'm so thankful that originally when I memorized Galatians 2:20, I memorized it out of the King James. Because out of the King James and out of the Darby version and ASV version and Young's Literal Translation, you know I love that one. Out of those translations, it's very, very clear. They make it say this: I now live by the faith of the Son of God. Well, other versions say in. I live by faith in the Son of God. And so, which is it? In or of? Because if it's of the Son of God, wow. If it's the faith in the Son of God, that's a wow too. There's no bad news here. And guess what? It's not a contradiction. Because when you break down the Greek word, and I can't say it in Greek, I don't even try to, but it's E-N when you say that. But when you look it up, it's such an expressive language, and it goes like this. It's in and of. It's of and in. It's both of them. Now, the English, when we try to, translate, they want to put it in one word. What's beautiful about the Greek and the Hebrew, it's the most colorful, descriptive languages ever in the history of the world. And that's what the Word of God is written in. Isn't that amazing? But when we do the English, it's so limited, and we try to limit one word to one word, and that's why it makes it a little tough sometimes. But it goes like this. This word that speaks of the Son of God or in the Son of God, it goes like this. It means submission to self, wholly to God. And so you understand that that's the difference between mental acknowledgement. We can have mental acknowledgement and think that's it. No, it's not. It's a submissive of self, wholly to. And it also means because of. And into. Because of the faith of the Son of God. And into the faith of the Son of God. Do you see that? They're not against each other. They hold hands. And so it denotes position. Submission of self. It describes an instrument of being in Christ. That we're actually in Christ. And faith is part of the instrument. Because it's the faith. It's the instrument of Christ. But it's in Christ that we use it. Is that beautiful? How about this one right here? It defines rest in relation. And so it's not by work. It's by receiving by rest. That faith of and faith in works the best. In rest. So faith follows hope. Hope's the expectation of God's goodness. It's confidence. God, our response is yes to rest and yes to action. And so let me, because I'm finished, let me give this little example that came to me just a couple of weeks ago when I was meditating on this, and I'd never seen this before, so I hope this will help you catch this, because I want you to go home with a handle on it. When we say faith is our yes to God, it's our yes with our heart, and it's our yes with our mouth and our actions. And so the yes in our heart, I mean, we're saying with all that's within us, we're saying yes to God. And so whenever we see something in the Word, or we get that picture from the Lord on the inside, we get that hope, and this is what God wants, is what God wants to do. A lot of times we'll jump to it and say yes, and then we immediately put our hand to the plow to make it happen. That's not the real description of the faith of and faith in. Faith of and faith in goes like this. God wants you, faith, say yes to Him, and then rest with the outside. Our action is not to put our hand to the plow and make it happen, because I hear preaching that does that. God said, and I'm going to make it happen. We're going to make a move of God. No, you're not. No. Really. How's that working out for you? Yeah, you're all. That's where that leads. Listen to me. God wants your faith to say yes to Him. And then you put your hand in His hand and rest. Well, Brother Tim, that's not going to get anything accomplished. Yes, it will. Because this is what He does. He shows us that we put our hand in Him, believing, relying on. He takes our hand and with His hand puts it on the plow with Him. And when He puts His hand on the plow with you, He makes it so. So, just to give you a little picture. Now, we're in Texas, so nobody in different part of the nation or world get offended by this, but we have weapons, we have guns. It's just a tool. And we carry them with us for snakes. The ones that crawl, the ones that walk, but we carry. Okay, but it goes like this. It's a tool. And so it's important in Texas that we raise up our kids to respect the weapon. That dad's guns are different than their play guns. And so early on, we try to train them. And I would take my little fellas, the hall boys, when they were little and I deer hunted with a 44 Magnum Red Hawk revolver, big and heavy one, had a loud bang, and I would take them and I would put their hands on the weapon and I'd put my hands around their hands. Are you listening? And we would fire off that round, and they would grow in the respect weapon. Okay? I want to tell you something that happens. When we say yes to God on the inside, and then on the outside and with our mouth, we, our hand in His hand in rest, we agree with God with what He shows us and what He says, and we speak it, and we put our hand in His hand with rest. He then takes our hand and He puts it to the plow of whatever He's working in our heart, and He makes it so. And we grow in greater respect to His power, to His precedence, to His kingship. And He makes it so. I'm so excited to share with you next week, because next week we're going to talk about God's already blessed believers with every spiritual blessing that you would need in this life and the next, that He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It comes from heavenly places in Christ. It's not just for heaven, it's for here. Are you excited about that? See, He did this for you. You're not alone. I know it may seem like you're alone. You're not alone. Your shepherd is with you, and He cares. And He wants you to come by faith because of what He said and place your cares at the feet of His throne. And He wants to take you and give you tender, loving care. He ministers peace. He ministers His hope and His love. That's for you. Let's pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we just, each one that's hearing Your word, that faith will spark and faith will rise up. And we declare Your fresh hope in their hearts. And we just release upon their hearts the hope that their hopes will be placed on Christ, and that they'll get a fresh word, a fresh vision, a fresh purpose of what You're doing and what You want to do. And we just bless them in the name of Jesus, and we pray Your divine hedge of protection around about them. And we declare in their heart, in and out and all about, the shalom, peace of Jesus rules and reigns. And all the people said, amen and amen. Thank you for joining us. We'll have a great time next week. Live and living right here.